When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. I guess I should say our Halloween edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, a.m. 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring you up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I guess being the day before Halloween, it's kind of a spooky day here, but not for that reason. Aside from the fact that when I look over my shoulder, it's a crummy, rainy, dark day this morning. And when I look through the glass, to the other studio, it's empty, and that would be because Animal World call screener, speaking of calling, called me early this morning and said, oh, I'm really sick. So Scotty Robertson is not feeling well today, so please think good thoughts for him, and he will not be here. So, gosh, lonely, and it's getting even lonelier. Fortunately, across the table from me, one more time, is Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill. Good morning, Gare. Uh-oh.
I found the Halloween music.
Hey! I was going to say. Oh, man. Well, it is kind of spooky and kind of scary. And I didn't bring a ton of Kleenex. I might be in trouble. Because I'm already tearing up.
No.
I haven't even started the show yet. No, look at my eyes. And for any of you, well, if you haven't been listening regularly, you'll know the reason for that is that today is Gary's officially Gary's last day with Animal World today. And with the station, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And
they're putting me out.
Speaking of that, I mean, I think there must be part of his heart is still here and doesn't want to go.
Apparently.
Yeah, because the one day you forgot your keys.
I forgot my keys.
So how the heck did you get in?
Well, I had my key to get in the building, which is a different key altogether.
But you're supposed to turn those in today.
Yes, yeah.
See, and now
it's going to be an issue since they're not here.
Yeah, well, so does that mean that they're going to change all the locks and the keys and all the codes and all that stuff again because you don't turn your stuff in?
Hopefully.
Hopefully not.
Oh,
no.
Not? Okay.
No, because then I can't get in. Because nobody ever tells me. Anyway. But our hope is that the plan was that if your kids were all healthy, if the family was healthy, then your wife Mary and your kids Finley and Baker would come and join us for the last part of the show. And because we are, in fact, aside from, it is the last Sunday of October, believe it or not, and it is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary, anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, and we're going to do that as usual, but our primary focus today is to celebrate Gary.
Oh, that's nice.
And so we're going to do that, and I'm going to cry my way through the show, and because, you know, it's more than 8 years, Gary.
It's a long time.
It is. And
especially in this crazy business of radio.
Yeah. Well, can't say that that either one of us are quitters.
Yeah.
We're in there for the long haul. And yeah. And speaking of that, you aren't quitting just to quit.
No.
There's a good reason behind all of this. And we're gonna talk in more detail about that towards the end of the show. But our plan is, and hopefully this plan is gonna work, because if it works, the keys will get here in time for Gary to turn them in.
Yes.
And that is that your wife Mary and your two delightful kids, Finley and Baker, are going to join us in the studio later. Now that's
the plan.
That was the plan, provided the kids are healthy. But you said what? Finley got sick again last night.
Finley's been really struggling, health wise, and she had a tough night last night and struggling a little bit this morning. So I guess we'll just fingers crossed. And...
Yeah, and speaking of that, Gary's eyes are sort of at half mast.
Yeah, I am not 100%.
That's probably the reason why you don't have your keys this morning. Is that because we had a tough night with Finley last night? Huh?
Yeah, Baker was up early, of course. Baker's a farmer.
Yeah,
he likes to get up.
Dawn.
Yeah, tend to the crops before dawn.
And,
so.
And what'd you say? He's about 13 months old now.
Yeah, 14 months.
14
now.
Months
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So a 14-month-old farmer.
Yeah, he likes to get an early start on things.
Now is this an inheritable trait? Are either you or Mary early morning people?
Not really. I mean, I'm kind of forced into it, but.
Well, so anyway, the reason that you're leaving Animal World and basically the station is because you have become quite busy in your life.
Yes.
Aside from having a wife and two kids under five years old, because Finley's what, four now?
Four and a half, yeah.
And well, not quite, because she's a Gemini.
Okay, I jumped
she's
the gun
June
a little
baby.
Bit.
She'll be four and a half in December.
Yeah.
See, I know better than
on
you.
On Christmas
How can
Day.
That be that Aunt Martha knows this?
Well, because I was thinking about it yesterday, and it's like, wow, it's almost November.
I know.
Which is just...
That's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. I mean, the year is almost up. Yeah. November, December.
Wow. Yeah, hard to believe.
So I guess I was forward in my thinking.
Yep. So anyway, two kids under five, and you have a day job.
Yes.
That you must keep.
Yes. Yeah.
And
it's kind of important too.
But then your passion on the side is sports.
Yeah.
And you've gotten quite busy in the sporting department.
Yeah.
In that you do the voice for a number of different things.
Mm-hmm. And stay busy. Mariners pre and post game and Seattle U and Storm and University of Washington baseball.
Yeah. Now, that's a lot.
UPS baseball and basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all of that stuff.
Had a football game yesterday in Forest Grove, Oregon.
So you were in Oregon yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder you're tired.
I know. It's kind of it's a bus ride in the morning and on the way back. And
so, yeah, because you can't call those sporting events from home.
No, from the that would be nice. From the couch,
yeah.
Just kind of kicking back. Yeah,
yeah, you can't do that. You have to be
from
there
the
on site. So that means you're often flying around the country.
Yeah,
and
especially in the winter, yeah.
Or busing, like that's apparently what you
like
did
yesterday,
huh? So when was the game?
It was at 1:30 yesterday.
So you did the game and then had to bus back up here?
Yeah, bus in the morning. Left at like 7 a.m. from Tacoma.
And then bus back.
Yeah.
And came home to sick kid.
I know.
And very little sleep.
Bad for Mary.
So the bottom line is, folks, Gary basically has been working 24/7 consistently for a very long time. And for a guy that has a young family, that's not... You know, an ideal situation.
No.
And you were saying you don't even have one morning a week that you can stay home and be with the kids. And as far as I'm concerned, that just simply is unacceptable in the family. So with our blessings, Gary is going to start taking Sundays off. Now, I've told you, you just better not be filling this day up with sports stuff or Aunt Martha. Well, the wrath of your former... radio spouse.
Well, I don't want that. So.
Yes, no, you don't want that. So you need to be home with Finley and Baker and Mary and having, see, a day like today, rainy and crummy and dark, you could still be home in bed.
It was so dark this morning.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
And raining. Noticeably differently dark, wasn't it?
Yeah, I left the house, and I swear I had to check the time because I thought it was the middle of the night.
Yeah, well, it's when I got up.
I'm really
tired.
It's really dark. What's going on?
Yeah, and then I'm getting ready to leave, and I say, it's still dark out. And then I realized that one of my favorite days of the year happens next weekend, which is fall back.
You know what's funny is we have this clock that's smart.
Oh, one of those smart clocks.
Yeah, we were looking at it this morning after, you know, everything we've gone through, and it said 5:44. Like, 5:44? It jumped back already, because today used to be the time that we jumped back.
So it apparently is not so smart.
Well, it's smart when it was programmed, and now it's not so smart.
Uh-huh. So it was a week
jumped
ahead.
Jumped the gun on us, yeah.
Well, at least you weren't late.
That's true.
But so
I was here, standing outside the door, without my keys.
Without your keys. Well, I have to say, so when it was just barely getting light when I left this morning, and I realized that when we fall back next Saturday night, next Sunday morning, it will in fact be dark when I have to leave. Now, you, of course, will be celebrating your first Sunday at home.
Yeah. I may start a fire and then call you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now, speaking of that, we know who our new guy is going to be, and he's actually not a new guy to Animal World.
No.
But that would be Mike Roberge. And we think he's coming in sometime today.
I think he is coming in sometime today. I'm not sure when.
But we don't know when.
Yeah.
So when you know, because we've been doing reality radio all these years, that we do in fact kind of have reality radio going on today already. And that's because you don't have your keys. So we couldn't do some of the stuff we normally do before the show because we can't get into anything. And
oops.
But that's all right. We got by without that. And
I thought
about
picking the lock, but then on my last day, I probably shouldn't be breaking into offices.
Well, no. You'll be in enough trouble if you don't turn in your keys if Mary and the kids don't get here later. But so at some point, Mike will be here, hopefully, so that the good thing is he's done Animal World a number of times
before. Yeah, that's
why
he's not real concerned about getting here for the whole show. He's never done the show after us before, so he's
he needs to be here for that. Yeah. So that probably means he'll blow in here. Well, because he's like me. He's a night person.
Uh-huh.
And do you know, is he still doing his Saturday night shift?
I don't know if he did it last night or not.
Because, see, his normal working hours, he'd be here at the station until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Which is why it was kind of a problem when he had to fill in for Gary.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, because he didn't get any sleep Saturday night. So that was kind of like two of us here without any sleep. So hopefully he doesn't have to work till 2 in the morning anymore.
Yeah.
So both of us won't be asleep at the switch on Sunday mornings. Well, we'll find out. So anyway, he'll blow in here sometime. But see, I was hoping he would be here because, see, with Scotty being homesick, he usually calls our shelters, rescues, and sanctuaries to get them lined up for their interviews. And since he's not here, and I didn't know he wasn't going to be here, that they are not programmed to call us. We have to call them.
It's coming down to me today. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so Gary's going to have to be tap dancing again today.
A lot of pressure.
Well, his eyes are starting to open up now. That's good.
That is good. It's better than being closed.
Okay, well, let's talk. Besides celebrating Gary, we will do current events about 10:50 as usual. And at that time, combined with current events, I will give you my Halloween tips and precautions to keep your animal friends safe during the holiday celebration tomorrow. And then we will do our fall into winter tip at 11 o'clock. We will be speaking to our regulars. We'll do the birds in this hour, Mollywood Avian Sanctuary. We'll do Sarvey Wildlife Care Center with Clinic Director Leslie in the next hour. We will do All Breed Equine Rescue and the horses in the first half of the 11 o'clock hour. And then we'll celebrate Gary, the end of the show, and we hope that Mary and the kids will be joining us. Gary and I thought it might be cool for his last Sunday here that we'd just let Finley and Baker take over the show.
Yeah, I think they'd be great.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Baker and a series of grunts I think would be very entertaining.
All right, well, I've got a couple of follow-up issues. Oh, and the first follow-up, exciting. You know, because you've heard my boys are backstories of my ruddy Abyssinians, and that as I was collecting my dearly departed Abby's back in New Bodies, I had my first Abby came through and said, hi, I want to come back too. And I said, well, you have to wait till the next litter. I said, okay. I just wanted to let you know that Buzzy was born last Ooh. Monday morning. So Buzzy's back on the planet in a new little ruddy boy Abyssinian body. So he's almost a week old. And I haven't seen him yet, but he's doing well as far as I know. And as soon as his mom Kitty and grandma Breeder says it's okay for me to come visit, I will go visit. But so in a few months, I will have Buzzy back.
Grandma Breeder?
Well, yeah, the breeder becomes grandma.
Okay.
Because I become mom.
Right.
But actually, now we have sort of at the house, you know, Miss Sophie Sweetcheeks, who is, just about Baker's age. She's about 14 months old. And she was born a year ago, July 1st. So she's a little younger than Baker. But anyway, she's taken over the mommy position with Ping and Pong, my two little ruddy Abbeys. She mommies them very well. Mm-hmm. And she tells, like, Kim last week, you know, Kim Miller, medium, Animal Intuitive, was here. And Kim actually rescued Sophie when she was a day old. And that's how Sophie came to me. And Kim tuned in to Sophie, and Sophie said, she got these boys for me. They're mine. So I'm the human mom. Sophie is the kitty mom. And she does mommy her boys very well. And that's often a frustration for spayed female cats. They are frustrated on a mother level because they don't get to have kittens. But now Sophie's got the best of both worlds. She's spayed and didn't have to go through labor, and she has her boys. And she's got another one coming. So there you go. Buzzy's back on the planet. And the next follow-up item, good news. We're going to start with good news first, Gary.
All right.
And then I got a pile of good news to end with. But the first good news in the follow-up department is, remember last Sunday was the Barktoberfest, sponsored by Positive Alliance out at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell, where I think it's 8 rescues from all over the state bring dogs and puppies for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is the air was filled with excited barking and the happy sounds of families becoming acquainted with their new best friends, and they got 52 dogs placed in new homes last Sunday. So that's fabulous. 52 dogs got new homes. Woo-hoo.
Wow.
Congratulations, nice. Everybody that has new kids.
That's a lot.
That is. All right, let's see. In the news department, several items here that I'm going to save for next week for Robin and I, because next week, aside from, we're going to do some vet stuff. I have some Pluckner case updates I want to share with you. And then, since I won't be here the following week, it'll be a Martha and Robin Sunday next Sunday. And Robin Alexis Mount Shasta Mystic will join me, and we'll tune in to these animals in the news stories and find out what's really going on, what the animals have to say. One of the stories I want us to tune into is there was a write-up this week. Well, actually, last Sunday in the Times, mouse intruder upsets island refuge's balance. And this is about the Farallon National Wildlife Refuge in California. And it's in the California's Galapagos Islands. And somehow rats got imported on ships or something to this island, and they've taken over. Or it's a mouse that's taken over the place. And so they're seriously putting some of the other native animals in jeopardy. So they're trying to figure out what to do about it. And if they poison the mice, then a lot of the native birds and stuff will die off as a result. So they're trying to decide how to handle that. So we're going to put that in the save department for next week. Then, let's see, what have we got? Oh, please. I'm going to also do more of this. Did you hear, Gary, that has to do with our wild Pacific salmon, and that this infectious virus was detected in a couple of them?
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't around here before, and now they found it in a couple of wild salmon. Now they're really concerned because it started in fish farms, and you know how I feel about fish farms.
That was a big roll of the eyes,
yeah,
for the listeners.
Yeah. And the it killed off like gazillions of dollars worth of salmon and fish farms someplace else. But now somehow it got into the wild salmon up here. And so now everybody's concerned about that. And there have been a number of articles related to that. And then that was actually last week. And then this week, now they're writing, made the front page of last Sunday's Times, why fish virus spooks scientists. Because it really could destroy things. But then on the heels of that, this made the front page Friday, a week ago Friday. Remember, I put off some of last week's stories until this. Plan for huge fish farm in the Strait of Juan de Fuca roils the waters. Just when we've got this virus showing up in the wild salmon out of nowhere, they're wanting to propose this huge fish farm in the Strait. I say, really? Ugh. So maybe the virus came along just in the nick of time to bring this to our attention so that we won't allow this huge fish farm. I mean, pretty soon all the fish, farmed or not, aren't going to be edible anyway because we've trashed the oceans. So, we'll leave that till next week. Oh, this could have gone in the follow-up department and actually might be a good thing. You know, we've talked about the bats and this mysterious white nose syndrome that's been killing them off. They have now discovered that it's a fungus. Well, like, duh. I could have told them that. Now they've isolated the fungus behind the disease, killing North America's bats. And they feel this is a good thing because now they can target how to deal with it. Now listen to this. Here's according to the scientists. We could pursue ways in which environments, such as caves and mines, can be manipulated so as to be less conducive to the fungus, but not harmful to bats. Now, I suppose that sounds like a reasonable approach, that maybe they could do that. Although, you know, we're kind of messing with Mother Nature, so I don't know how cool that is. We're going to put this in the safe department, too. But then listen to the next statement. Vaccination is another possible strategy.
Vaccinating the bats?
Who else are they going to vaccinate?
Wow, that seems...
And we're talking about wild bats.
That seems difficult.
So, I mean, what's wrong with this picture? You think you're just going to put out a little SOS and all these little wild bats are going to come line up at the pharmacy for their vaccinations?
Yeah, just put up a couple of signs.
I mean, who says that's a viable option?
I think that's a wonderful idea. Set up a little booth.
Yeah. I mean,
they'll all just wing by.
I mean, is it just me or come on? Calling all bats, come get your flu vaccine or your fungus vaccine.
You'd have to put together a really good marketing campaign. A lot of radio and TV ads to make sure
it runs in all
the
bat caves.
Yeah, so you get the bats to see it.
We probably have to hire Batman to get the word out.
Borrow the bat signal.
Speaking of Halloween, Oh, that was good.
That's my bat impression.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
That was very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, and speaking of bats, I'm just remembering there was one. I was going to have our last Husky Cougar discussion this morning because it was actually a good weekend for the Huskies. Beat their opponents yesterday.
They did?
Uh-huh. Oh. Arizona. And guess what?
What?
The Huskies are now bowl eligible.
All right.
But I suppose maybe you were out of town and didn't realize what happened to the Cougars.
Well, playing Oregon.
Yeah.
Expectations weren't real high going into that one.
Well, they stayed in the game for the first half.
Yeah.
For the first half.
Yeah. Wow.
And then they got creamed. And now their bowl chances are, like, pretty negligible.
Yeah. Well, winning the Apple Cup should help our chances.
Well, that isn't going to happen.
Oh, that's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. You might have to come back in that day.
Okay, that'll be fun.
And play the Husky.
Play the what?
The Huskies.
I don't think it's in the system. This one's in the system, though. I found this one right away.
Well, you know, I think that may be the first thing that Mike and I do. We might just have to dump this from the system.
I think I put a lock on it. It's not deletable.
Mike, get your butt down here so that you can play the Huskies. Seems only fitting. All right. So anyway. Now see, am I a nice person or what?
Yes.
I didn't really even yell at you, but I had to give you an opportunity to at least play your song one more time before we dump it from the system.
Yeah. I'm going to put it in multiple places.
Well, you know, we'll call you on Sunday morning. Just wake you up to say, hey, Gary. Whoosh. Flush. Bye-bye. Oh, well. Okay. Around the Northwest. Out of Vancouver, B.C. Study finds threats to marine species. Really? Gee, what else is news? They're saying the number of creatures in marine waters of Washington and British Columbia that need to be conserved has nearly doubled in the past 2 years. See, I told you, they're not going to be edible anyway, so. Oh, this was, it's all about marine life here. This was a fascinating, but not a good article. Synthetic lint may be a threat to marine life. And get this. I might have to quit wearing this. I have a fleece shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly 2,000 polyester fibers can float away unseen from a single fleece sweater in one wash cycle, a new study reports.
How many?
God bless me. 2,000.
Wow. That's a lot.
And they get through sewage treatment systems, so they get into the ocean. So now they're thinking, how might all these little polyester fibers affect marine life? Well, it's probably why they're all threatened. Okay, so then they decided they better check this out. And, of course, you got the larger bits of plastic, you know, from the Pacific garbage patch that break down. But they sent a team of people to scoop contents of the sand on 18 beaches around the world. And a chemical analysis showed that 80% of those, that every single sample from every single beach in the sand had these chemical particles, these, you know, polyester fibers in every single one of the samples in the sand on the beach. And 80% of them were from polyester or acrylic. And they were worse in beaches that are around cities. So fortunately, I have a septic system, so I'm only polluting the ground I live on. But you people in the city.
Oh, there's a simple solution.
I see.
Just don't wash your clothes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say wear only natural fibers.
Well.
That would be another solution.
That'd be a more difficult solution.
But okay.
Route's pretty easy.
All right, and another article going in the save department. The sharks are killing people off of Australian.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
I have heard that.
There have been three so far.
Yeah.
And now they're wondering if it's one shark that they have a Jaws down there.
Eey.
Or if it's more than one. So I'm going to put that in the save department. So if Robin and I have time next week, we'll tune into these things. So how about we, before we do advertisers and sponsors, let's finish up this business and see. I'm looking over my shoulder. Does it look darker out there to you than when we started?
It's dark.
It is. Well, how about we do the best good news about animals? Sunshine. Woohoo! Woohoo! You notice the enthusiasm just isn't quite there this week.
I know, you tried, but really.
And it's not because it's so dark outside.
It's not?
No. It's because it's my last. See, if I say it, I'm going to start crying. It's your last day. And as happy as I am for your family, I'm sad. Because I'm going to miss you.
I know.
You're
I'll miss
stupid.
You. I'll come back and visit, though.
Yeah, but I'm flushing it from the system. But I have to admit, I'll miss that, too.
Yes.
All right, the first thing and the best good news. Just a cute photograph in Friday's Seattle Times. Any pumpkin pie inside with a question mark? And it's before I beat them up. It's a picture from the Woodland Park Zoo with a meerkat in, looking inside a carved pumpkin. Is that like cute or what? Totally cute. So we should save this for your Finley. A little meerkat here. Now, how about this for a shock? This is a fabulous photo after out of yesterday's Seattle Times. Look it up. Whale of a California close-up. And this is a kayaker was surprised off the coast of Seabright State Beach in Santa Cruz, California, on Tuesday. And the photographer was shooting pictures from a boat for an assignment for the Santa Cruz Conference and Visitors Council. So he just happened to be shooting. And right next, I mean, like within, it looks like within like 5 feet of this kayaker, two humpback whales breached at the same time out of the water.
Wow. Look at that.
And it just happened to catch it. But is that, I mean, what if you were that kayaker, would that be a, let's hope you didn't have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, no doubt. That looks really close.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you didn't see this, folks, search it. Whale of a California close-up. Whoa. I mean, literally, that's less than 5 feet away.
Yeah.
And two humpback whales, which are huge.
Yeah.
Breached together right next to each other, right next to this guy.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Thought so. Okay. All right. This is, where's the rest of my, That's interesting. I seem to be missing. They're not missing. They're in there. I'll grab them here, but.
Do you want me to stall?
Well, no, I can do this for a moment, because this is the last one I have in my hand. I just have to grab the rest out of my case. This is local. Birders have a field day, and this is an article that was in last Sunday's Northwest Sunday section about Discovery Park. Apparently, it is critical migration stop and habitat for some 250 species. The 500-acre park is one of the few big tracts of wild lands left in Seattle. And at this time of year, people gather to watch the birds. And because of that, they're doing tours. And the walks are offered every Saturday now through November 12th. So, look at the photo of this bald eagle there at Discovery Park.
Very cool photo.
Now, so here's the deal on this. Naturalist-led tours leave from the visitor center at Discovery Park every Saturday beginning at 8 a.m. It's $3 to do, and all ages are welcome, but children must be accompanied by an adult. It's easy terrain, and the tour lasts about 2 hours. They also need volunteers for monthly bird counts on the first weekend of every month at the park. No experience is necessary. I guess you just need to be able to count. Kind of makes it. Here's a phone number if you are interested in registering for a bird walk. Remember, you got to do it by November 12th. 206-386-4236. 206-386-4236. Okay, now you can stall for a second.
Stall for a second. You really didn't give me much to work with there.
Okay, let's see. You did a good job.
Okay.
Okay, all right, here's the rest of the good news stories. This one is fun. A group of Hawke's Bay residents, this is out of New Zealand, have organized themselves to help out some of the smallest of their Bay of Plenty neighbors affected by the Rena oil spill. The bird death toll from the environmental disaster has now reached nearly 1,300, among them many little blue penguins. Well, a Napier factory has sent a care package off to Tauranga full of tiny, woolly penguin pajamas.
Huh.
Now, what they found, the biggest problem is when these little penguins get into the oil spill, you know, they of course, their feathers get all covered with oil. And then they rescue them, but while they're waiting to be washed off, they try to preen themselves, and they end up swallowing a lot of the oil, and they get even sicker and sometimes die before they can clean them off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they figured out in another oil spill that if they made pure wool little sweaters for the penguins. They could put them on the penguins, and then they couldn't get to their feathers. And so they wear little wool jammies until they can wash them off. So the Massey University Wildlife Recovery Team contacted Napier's Design Spun, and they contacted all of their knitters, and within a week they had knitted all the little jumpers for all the little penguins and sent them off, and so they're all in little penguin suits, and some of them even knitted into the little suits, cut down on oil use just
nice.
For fun.
Uh-huh.
So the little penguins all have their little oil suits.
Their little sweaters.
Yeah, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty amazing. Now, this is a press release from Born Free USA. Tuesday was a great day for animals for Born Free USA. In Toronto, Canada, city councilors overwhelmingly approved 38-4 a ban on the ownership, sale, or consumption of shark fins.
Hmm.
The brutal practice of finning satisfies a vanity food demand and is so widespread an estimated 90 million sharks are killed each year. That is pushing several species toward rapid extinction. So Toronto has banned them. That's really good. Now, later that evening, get this, councillors also overwhelmingly agreed, 31-4, to have the three elephants being kept at the Toronto Zoo in poor conditions be transferred to the Performing Animal Welfare Society PAWS Sanctuary in San Andreas, California, not far from Born Free's headquarters in Sacramento. So the City Council of Toronto, Canada, voted to have their zoo elephants, three of them, sent to the sanctuary. On the heels of that announcement came a press release from our own Friends of Woodland Park Zoo elephants. And listen to this. Taking strong leadership, Toronto, Canada's City Council voted 31-4 to allow the elephants at Toronto Zoo to live out their lives at PAWS Sanctuary in California. The Toronto City Council overruled the zoo's interests and used science and compassion in making their decision to choose a life that is healthiest for their elephants. Like Toronto's elephants, Seattle's three elephants, Bamboo, Chai, and Watoto, spend over half the year locked in a barren barn, still barely large enough to turn around. And a barn stall barely large enough to turn around. Our elephants' lockup lasts 16 to 17 hours a day, with either Bamboo or Watoto in solitary confinement. Like Toronto's elephants, our elephants have less than 1 acre of outdoor space. Like Toronto's elephants, our elephants exhibit repetitive neurotic behaviors called stereotypies due to the trauma of captivity and crushing boredom. Like Toronto's elephants are very costly to house, about $400,000 a year. When the Toronto Zoo looked into expanding the elephant exhibit, they discovered the costs were prohibitive. The LA Zoo, for example, spent $42.5 million in 2009 on a 3.5-acre display, inadequate the day it opened. Like the elephants at Toronto Zoo, Bamboo, Chai, and Watoto suffer from captivity-induced ailments, some of which could cause premature death. Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants is calling for the immediate release of our elephants to PAWS or the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. And, of course, I'll tell you folks that the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee has volunteered to pay all the costs of moving our elephants to their facility. So it would not cost Woodland Park Zoo or the City of Seattle anything. So I'm on board with this. I vote with Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. Seattle City Council, why don't you follow the lead of Toronto's City Council and send our elephants off to the sanctuary and let them live a happy rest of their lives. I won't say any more since we're in good news. All right. This is the winner of the best good news about animals, and these pictures are unbelievable, Gary. Keepers at the Pocatello Zoo in Idaho were worried when they noticed Shooter, a four-year-old elk acting strangely at his water trough. Baffled, they watched as the elephant, who is so, or as the animal who is so massive, some keepers are afraid to even enter his enclosure, tried to dip his hooves into his drinking trough before attempting to dunk his whole head in the water. But they were amazed as 10-foot-tall shooter lifted his head from the trough, clutching a tiny marmot, a kind of large squirrel between his jaws. Now, there's a picture of the big elk. He's huge.
Yeah. Wow.
In front of his trough. Now, here, there's a picture of him with the marmot in his mouth. And it says, the gentle giant placed the hapless rodent down and nudged it with his foot as if checking for signs of life before calmly watching it scamper off into the brush. Zoo staff caught the entire rescue on camera. It really was amazing. Shooter is a large, huge animal. He stands at 6 feet tall without his antlers, which are another 4 feet, and he's pretty scary. Some of the staff don't like going in his enclosure with him. He's punctured car tires with his antlers before. So to see him being so gentle with a little animal was heartwarming. We all know he's a real character, but I think he must have a soft side we didn't know about. He was trying to dunk his head in the water, but his antlers kept getting in the way. Nobody could figure out why he was trying to get his head in, and then he started dipping his feet in. We were completely confused until we saw the marmot in his mouth. And there's a picture of him gently placing the marmot on the ground.
Wow.
And then here's a picture of the marmot that's recovered. We think Shooter sensed the animal was in distress and decided to help. He spent quite a bit of time planning how to grab it. The zoo plans to auction off Shooter's incredible antlers when they're shed later in the year. So now this came out of Mail Online. You could search it Daily Mail by the Daily Mail reporter. Search elk and safety. Zookeepers stunned as moose rescues drowning marmot from watery death. So you can take a look at those pictures, Gare. All right, that is. We'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then I guess we will start Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And we'll get Betsy Lott on the line from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk. AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's the reason Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-whole-natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats. There's a bird formula and a horse formula, and Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for The Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try OptiGest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Are you worthy of being happy? Oprah Winfrey says worthiness is your birthright. You are worthy of being happy. Robin Alexis would be privileged to assist you to embrace your worthiness and help you get and maintain a happy life again. You are invited to post in Robin's private online Soul Spa forums and share with others what inhibits you from feeling worthy to live a happy life. Soul Spa members, people like you, have signed confidentiality agreements to keep all the communication that happens in the Soul Spa. Let Robin Alexis and Soul Spa members help you move from breakdowns to the miracle of breakthroughs. As you participate in the Robin Alexis online Soul Spa, you will liberate yourself and feel worthy of living a happy life again. Visit robinalexis.com for more details on the special offer of a reading with Robin and a 1 year's membership to the Soul Spa, or call 360-457-2993. Embrace your happiness now.
Manson Mitchell, Saturday mornings at 10. Good gab, great guest. It's all about the art of dynamic living, shared by celebrated people from all walks of life, many with a claim to fame. Then at 11, The Gary Mance Show. 2 hours of mastery and mystery from transformational teachers that show you how to get to where you want to go in life, to lively discussions of the world's most perplexing paranormal phenomena. That's Manson Mitchell, Saturday mornings at 10, followed by The Gary Mance Show at 11 Pacific on Alternative Talk, 1150.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is the last Sunday of October, and that means it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And helping our bird friends up in Bellingham would be Mollywood Avian Sanctuary, and we've got Betsy Lott on the line. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Martha.
How's it going with the birds and all up in Bellingham?
Oh, it's going.
Yeah, we're pretty dark and rainy and gloomy and cold down here. What's it doing in Bellingham?
Same.
Okay.
Dark, gloomy, cold, icky.
All right. Well, fill us in. Anybody who hasn't listened before and doesn't know what Mollywood Avian Sanctuary is all about, why don't you give us the lowdown?
We are a 501c3 no-kill sanctuary, permanent home for parrots and cockatoos of all sizes. And what we are is a permanent home for them. We're not an adoption facility, although in today's economy, when people have had to give up their beloved pets due to the economy, and you know darn well and good they don't belong in a sanctuary, we worked with them and other rescue groups to help them find homes.
Well, that's good to know. And you don't just have parrots and cockatoos either. About how many birds do you have at your sanctuary?
Close to 400.
And you can hear some of them now chiming in.
Helping.
And you have everything from the itty-bitties, because you've got some finches and
We have finches and parakeets, cockatiels, lovebirds.
Hey, how about canaries? You got any canaries in the
coal mine? Not at this time.
That's interesting. So all those little ones, and then up to the largest ones you have, the macaws, I would think.
Yes. The macaws are the largest by length, but not necessarily by weight.
Oh, do some of the cockatoos outweigh them?
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't realize that.
Huh. I have some cockatoos with middle names like Hoover.
Ah, okay. And that was because they suck up their food really fast?
They eat everything.
Ah.
They are not picky.
Huh. Now, I don't believe I've ever seen one, but is there such a thing as a fat bird?
Yes, there are.
Really?
And some breeds are prone to fatty liver disease, fatty lipomas.
Really?
Obesity. And they're the ones you have to watch diet-wise, usually because they have phenomenal appetites and are not choosy, and they'll just eat everything.
Huh. Well, you said some breeds are more prone to that. What breeds would those be?
Amazons, rose-breasted cockatoos.
Huh.
Those are the main ones that you tend to see most of the problems with.
Well, who knew? So you have to put them on a bird diet?
Yeah, you have to watch what they eat. Like, keep it a low-fat diet. It can be healthy, but watch the amount of starches and quantities.
Who's the big complainer today?
I think it's Buddy.
And would he be a cockatoo?
Yes, he would. Buddy would be a bird who has a brand new prosthetic beak.
Oh. Now, well, tell us about that. Did something happen to his original beak?
Yes. We had a bird get out of his cage here and aggressively attack Buddy through the cage bars and bite his upper beak.
Oh, dear.
And it broke part of the growth plate on the top mandible.
Oh, my.
And so Buddy's beak does not grow normal now. And thanks to the Association of Avian Veterinarian Convention back in August, we learned about a new material from a medical company called IMEX. That's an acrylic polymer type compound with almost no odor, which is a first for avian veterinarians, because in the past, any types of Bondo type products used for beak repair have always come with such a high odor that it's caused sinus distress and irritation, and you pretty much have to mix them outdoors. They're so potent.
Wow.
And this stuff is like a miracle.
Wow.
It has almost no odor. And within 2 hours of Buddy waking up from surgery, he was already using his beak and eating food.
Wow.
And doing great. And he continues to improve.
Well, so it's like a very popular movie right now is The Dolphin Tale, about the dolphin, you know, that got the prosthetic tail.
Right.
And so Buddy has a prosthetic beak, huh?
Yes.
Now, is it when he's, because obviously he had to be anesthetized to have the work done. And do they build this beak right on the old one and it's a permanent thing, or can you take it on and off?
No, it's a permanent feature.
Okay.
We did anesthetize him. We used stainless steel mesh and wires to build up a foundation.
Huh.
And then the acrylic is put on with something that kind of looks like a handheld caulking gun, like a small version.
Yeah.
And it's used to inject the mixture that becomes the hard surface when it dries, and it dries fairly quickly in about 7 minutes.
Wow.
And so we did that with the help of Dr. Bridget Ferguson down in Renton. She's an avian specialist and just miraculous.
Wow. But I would imagine something like that is pretty costly, huh?
Yes. It can certainly be very costly, and because it's ongoing maintenance, he'll have fills, the way acrylic nails would have fills if you were that type.
Yeah.
So as it grows out, we'll be modifying and filling as needed.
Well, that's fascinating. We'll have to keep tabs on Buddy. How old a bird is Buddy?
Buddy is, I think, 29.
Wow. And has he been with you a long time?
He's been with me for just a couple of years.
Oh, okay. And how long do cockatoos live ordinarily?
They can live anywhere from 70 to 100 years.
Holy moly. So he
could
have
right.
this beak for a long time.
He could. My oldest cockatoo currently is 68 years old.
Wow. Now, is that the oldest bird in the sanctuary that you know of?
Yes.
Wow, 68. And you said that the cockatoos can live 70 to 100 years?
They can. Most of the time in captivity, you see them living more closer to ages like 40 to 60.
Okay. Any other kinds of parrots or otherwise that live longer than that?
Most of the large birds have that longevity. Several years ago, we were very privileged to care for a 71-year-old macaw.
Oh, wow.
And he died just before his 73rd birthday.
Okay. So it goes probably without saying that if people commit to having an exotic bird like this as part of their family, they need to make plans because the bird may outlive them.
Quite often that is the case.
Is that how you come by some of your birds, that their human person dies off?
Yes, it is. We have the owner passing away and nobody in the family wanting to take on the birds or prepared to take on the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family looks for an alternative.
Well, yeah, see, you know, there's some people that wouldn't want to live with that.
Really? I can't imagine.
Of course, you probably are used to it by now. I mean, because that's just life for you guys, right?
Yes, and certain things set them off. Like, they can be very quiet. Like, I'm in a room right now. I've got four large cockatoos in the room I'm in.
Uh-huh.
And they're not at all affected by the screaming in the room next to me.
Is something going on in the room next to you that's setting those birds off?
Yes, it could be somebody walking by outside, somebody, or another bird. Sometimes when the little birds get out, they fly so darn quick, they set off everybody. I mean, I know for a fact right now I don't have a little bird out, but it's usually a trigger that sets them off of some kind.
Well, I know we usually get somebody chiming in here or there on Update Sundays when we talk to you, but I don't recall that we've ever had... Maybe they're getting ready for Halloween.
They could. Actually, it just turns out my vet tech just walked by with another bird, so everybody had to yell about that.
I see. So that's what... So anything out of the ordinary, they have to mouth off about, huh?
Absolutely. It's a stranger danger reflex. These are prey animals, and uh-huh. So they're always on high alert, because you never know what might eat them. You can't take the prey animal out of them just because you take them out of the jungle.
Correct. Okay.
And so they're always on alert, and some birds are just natural sentinels.
And so they let everybody else know.
Like in the wild, when you have groups of birds, you typically would have three or four birds placed strategically higher above the flock while the flock is eating, because they're watching for problems.
So they can let everybody know if somebody's coming in that might be a threat.
Right.
That makes sense.
And they do that, you know, for the safety of the flock, for the safety of their own longevity.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, let's talk a little bit about Mollywood and what you guys need right now. You are up in the Bellingham area. People can come visit. You need volunteers to help you take care of the birds, and you need donations of stuff and money and all of that. So tell us what's going on right now and what's on your wish list.
Money's always top of the list for many reasons. Ongoing veterinary care, food, resources, and now, because we're winterizing and we're getting ready for winter, you know, we're going to have those excellent heating bills coming in.
Yes.
So money is always the greatest gift. Volunteers are the lifeblood. We can do nothing without them. And we do still have our work parties on the third Saturday of the month.
Okay, and does that continue through the winter months?
Yes, it does.
Great.
We just change our protocols, so instead of necessarily opening up all the big doors and putting everybody outside and pressure washing, we're doing everything manually indoors with buckets of soapy water and still doing scrub downs, etc.
So that's the third Saturday of every month. If you want to help out Mollywood and the birds, you can join them for their work party. And like I said, where you clean and scrub. And I know that some people make toys for the birds on that Saturday. Sometimes you do building stuff.
Yes, and you had a chance to see the picture of that fabulous new aviary.
Yes, that's right. You sent me that after last month's show.
Right, and so that'll be, you know, one of the items that we winterize. We have a contractor friend of ours who is making us heated perches.
Oh.
For the winter to help out with, you know, their survival and care.
Because I'm amazed that even though these are tropical birds, they do quite well in our climate and outdoors. And your goal, of course, is to have these outdoor big aviaries for all the birds. And of course, I think you have, like, indoor escapes for them attached to all the aviaries. But you say sometimes even in the snow, the birds choose to be out in the weather rather than in their warm little enclosure.
I know, it's crazy, but they do adapt to our climate. I've had birds outside up here for 10 years. Prior to that, we've had birds outside in California for the time we lived down there. And they actually survive and thrive and do quite well as long as you provide for their protection from the elements. They do amazingly well.
All right. Well, now, folks, consider, you know...